All right, John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Now, we're going to get into some things tonight when it comes to the doctrine and the will and the glory and the law of God. And this might be a little more teaching than it is preaching. I've got some scriptures that I want to go to, and I want to cover a few things about the doctrine of God, about His will, and about the glory that what brings glory to God. And then I want to talk for just a minute about the law of God if we get to it. All right, but we're down here in chapter 7, verse 14, and the Bible says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him." Now I'm going to back up for just a minute, and I'll cover the rest of that in just a second. But I want to talk for just a minute about the doctrine and the will of God. He tells you in verse 14 and 15 that it was the midst of the feast time there, and the Lord went up to the temple and he began to teach. But look in verse 15, it says, "The Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Come over to Amos, back into your Old Testament. And in Amos chapter 7 is where I want to go. Amos chapter 7. Got Hosea and Joel and then Amos. And in Amos chapter 7, you look down in verse 10. And we're going to read a couple of verses here. But it seems like the Lord has a thing about calling ignorant people to do things that are great for Him. Now, I can say praise the Lord right there, because if not, I'd still be sitting on the bench somewhere. Look at verse 10, Amos chapter 7, verse 10. "Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words." He's talking about these prophecies that Amos makes. For thus Amos saith, "Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land." Now, that would be considered treason for a man to say something against the crown. "Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer," that's what they used to call the prophets, "O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there, but prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court." So basically saying, don't be bringing that negativity in here. This is a place of positivity. And I'm sorry to say this, beloved, but 90% of what you're going to get out of that book is going to be negative. And the reason is because you're in this flesh. And in this flesh, you don't want to do the things that the Spirit of God wants you to do. I mean, I'm going to be honest and frank with you. I don't like getting up early in the morning and reading my Bible. I don't like getting up early in the morning and trying to spend time in prayer. My flesh don't. But you know what I have to remember? I'm not my flesh. I'm inside of this flesh looking out at you. And one of these days when the Lord decides, He's going to open the door to this flesh and I'm going to step out of it. This tabernacle of clay I'm going to put off. My new man is going to step out. And if the Lord doesn't call me out in the rapture and I have to go by way of the grave, then He's going to call me up to be with Him. And one day, whenever He comes back to get the rest of the church, He's going to bring me back with Him, and I'm going to go into the ground wherever they lay this old temple of clay, and my soul is going to go back into that thing, and it's going to be reanimated so that it's likened unto His glorious body. And then it's going to get up out of that grave. And if it's in the rapture, well, then in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be changed. But until that time, I'm in this flesh, and this flesh doesn't want to do the things of God. In fact, it don't want to hear the things of God. Here you got the perfect example. He said, "Prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. It's the king's chapel, the king's court." Then said Amos, now look at the preacher's response. "Then said Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. But I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit." Just an old farmer is all he was. He said, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Now you notice something here? He don't spend a whole lot of time on his own backstory. He says, I wasn't a prophet. My daddy wasn't a prophet. Neither one of us preachers. There wasn't no preachers in our line. We were farmers. We were herdmen. That's all we were. But the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, go prophesy to Israel. And so that's what I'm here to do. Thus saith the Lord. And here he lets into it. He says, now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, thy sons, thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. And all of God's people said, amen, you know, and that's just kind of the guy that Amos is, you know. He's got that old farm, that old barnyard, you know, mentality. It's, well, them take it or leave it sort of deals, you know. And but that's the kind of man that the Lord chose to do things for him. I mean, you think about it. I mean, here David is out in the fields of Judea, and he's tending sheep. He's just a common, ordinary working man. Gideon, he's out there in the threshing floor. He's threshing wheat. And here the Lord calls him. I mean, if anything, it was kind of a strange thing that God called Gideon, because Gideon was back there hiding while he was threshing wheat, so the Midianites didn't get to him and they didn't see him. Because if the Midianites saw him, they'd come and take everything all the wheat he'd sifted back there behind in the threshing floor, and they'd have took everything he had. So he's back there hiding because he's afraid. And the Lord steps in and says, oh, thou man of valor. Gideon's like, who are you talking to? That's kind of honestly how I felt when I heard the Lord speaking. When the Lord spoke to my heart, he says, hey, I want you to preach. I'm sitting there going, oh, you can't be talking to me. I had already decided, man, I ain't preaching. My dad's a preacher. I ain't got no other preachers in my family that I'm aware of. I don't reckon anybody in my family past was preachers. But dad was first one. I thought, I saw what he went through. I don't want to do that. I remember it was like being the preacher's kid. Well, now I'm going to be able to tell her, honey, I know what it's like being the preacher's kid. I know it's like being outcasted. You know what you'll do whenever you're 30 years old? You'll say, praise God they outcasted me. Kept me out of a lot of trouble. But here's old Amos. He's a herdman. Peter, James, John, fisherman. Stinky old hairy fisherman out there on a boat. Probably smelt about like what they's catching all the time. You know, these poor fellers that come up on the job sites where I'm at and they have to service them old stinking nasty porta-johns. They crank that motor up on that old pump and that exhaust just, and it's just like, whew. I mean, buddy, you ain't got to worry about flies and mosquitoes. It kills everything. I'm surprised we don't come home glowing from, you know, some kind of nuclear problem, you know. But I think to myself, those poor fellers, I used to think those poor fellers have to smell that all day. Then I swapped gears and I said, those poor fellers' wives that have to wash them stinky, nasty clothes. And they have to walk into the house and that's what they smell when they walk. Oh, honey, how are you? Woo! Yeah, and I'm not trying to get too vulgar there, but they accuse the Lord here. Come on back to John. See, what's happening here is they're accusing the Lord of ignorance. And so, of course, the one thing he does is if they're going to accuse him of ignorance, then he calls people to follow him that would have been considered ignorant. I mean, 12 of his disciples, and among them, there might have been a couple that were what might be considered educated men. I mean, you got Matthew, he was a tax collector. And, of course, Judas, you know, he was the devil. But, I mean, out of all the men that he had with him, most of them, especially, you think, Peter, James, and John, those were the three chief apostles that he called that followed him. They're the only three that went with him into the Garden of Gethsemane where they saw him praying. They're the only three that went to the Mount of Transfiguration and saw that up there. And they're the only three that you read about much of happening to them after the ascension of Christ. And there ain't nothing, I'm sure, special about them versus any others. But the fact that the Lord is calling men, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29 right there tells you that the Lord has chosen the base things and the foolish things and the things that are considered the things that are not, and he's chosen those things to bring to pass the things that he said would come to pass so that everybody could look around and he gave the reason. He said the reason he chose people like that to do his will is, he said, so that no flesh could glory in his presence. The reason the Lord chooses people that don't have the pedigree, don't have the qualifications, don't have the education, don't have the learning, the reason he goes past those people is because he wants somebody that whenever they do something great for him, nobody can say, well, I know that wasn't you. There ain't no way you could have done that. And see, that's the kind of people that he called to himself because that's what they portrayed him to be. How knoweth this man letters having never learned? He's never come to any of the schools. He wasn't enrolled in the schools of the sons of the prophets. You know, he never went and sat under a priest and learned about the Levitical law. How knows this man letters? He's just an ignorant carpenter. His daddy's Joseph. We know him. You know, they didn't know him the way that they needed to know him. How knoweth this man? Okay, but then he gets down here in 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine's not mine, but his that sent me. So here he gets to breaking it down. What is his doctrine? Well, come to Luke. Back up a book and get Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Man, I'm going to have to get on the ball. It's already right now 5 of. All right, Luke chapter 4. Now in Luke chapter 4, you get down to verse 22. And this doctrine that he's talking about, it's a great doctrine, but it's a doctrine of grace. Because it says, well, look in verse 21, 4:21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? So this is just an ignorant, foolish carpenter. And here just before that, he'd went in there to preach, and whenever he did, the Bible says he walked in there and he walked into the synagogue, he picked up the scroll and he began to read, and he read in there and said, back in verse 18 there of the chapter, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it to the minister, sat down, the eyes of all them sat where synagogue were fastened upon him, and he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And now here they're saying, man, it says they wondered at the gracious words. What I find funny about that is they're sitting here going, they hated him for this now. They hated him for doing that. And even when they hated him, they still acknowledged that the words he was speaking was gracious words. So the doctrine that he brought was a doctrine of grace. It's graciousness. He came to heal the brokenhearted, set at liberty the captives, recover sight to the blind. That's what he came to do, seek and save that which was lost. It was a doctrine of grace. That's the doctrine he had. And he said, and it's not mine. It's the doctrine of him that sent me. That's whose doctrine it is. And to think about what kind of doctrine that had to have been for the Father to have said, this is my doctrine. My doctrine is a doctrine of the words that come out of the mouth of my Son being grace. And I'm sitting up here, and I'm watching how they're treating my son, and I'm watching how they're rejecting my son, and how they're beating my son, and how they're trying to kill him over and over and over again. And every time he turns around, he's healing one of them. He's raising one of them's dead relative. He's feeding a multitude of them. He's giving them healing from their sicknesses. He's going to church with them every Sabbath day, and he's preaching the Word of God to them. He's taking them up on a mountain and teaching Bible study. He's loving on the little children. He's bringing the people that are outcasts back into the fellowship with folks that they probably hadn't had fellowship with for years. And he's teaching people things about how they can get close to God without needing the mediation of a priest and a sacrifice. And there, he's doing all of that knowing that he's fixing to have to go to a cross and bear this himself. And his doctrine is a gracious doctrine. And I'm having to be gracious because I have to watch my son go through this and then have to sit here and smile about it. And let it go. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. You see, that's what I can't. It's hard for me to get my mind wrapped around how gracious the Father had to have been to have seen his son doing everything he was doing, and it be that the doctrine of God fulfilled through his son, and then he had to still sit there and think, boy, how gracious I'm having to be to watch them do what they're doing to my son. It's a doctrine of grace, but it's also a foretold doctrine. Now, I'm going to get on down through here. Now, come on back over to John, but while you're heading back to John 7, grab John chapter 3. Just back up to chapter 3. I want to show you one more thing. It's a doctrine that was proven, but it was a rejected doctrine. Chapter 3, John 3, verse 11, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." He said, everything I'm telling you is something I have seen. And we, not only me, we have seen it. He said, we testify that we do know and that we have seen. Now, in a court of law, one of the things that oftentimes breaks a case that may lack a little evidence is eyewitnesses. That's the second time that that's happened. Watch over us, Lord. For some reason, I feel like that light just got brighter. See, the Lord turning it on a little higher. He says, that ain't it too dark in there. I hope that wasn't a power surge. Anyway. This? Yeah, I figured it's probably popping the power. It's probably popping the sound system back there. All right, I'll just go ahead and probably close it off. That weather's getting bad. I don't want anybody out in this before it gets too bad. All right, so we'll go ahead and we'll just close it down right there, and it's 8 o'clock, so.